See, there's a verse in the book of 1 Peter. It's a pretty interesting verse in chapter 3, verse 9. He says here, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Know that you were called to this so that you may inherit a blessing." Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that when people are mean to us and we respond by forgiving them and blessing them and asking God to fill our heart with love for them, he says here that we inherit a blessing. What's the blessing do you think that we inherit? Yeah, peace and healing. That's the blessing that we inherit. Okay, so one last thing is I just want to talk about. When you do this, and we're going to, you know, have an opportunity to go through some of this right now, but I encourage you, even as you leave tonight, begin to ask God to show you. I don't care if you haven't been to church for 32 years. It doesn't matter. God knows who you are, and he knows you're here, and he knows what you're hearing and what you're going through. I want you to begin to ask God to show you, Lord, who are the people that have hurt me? And make a list. When you start, this is very, very key, very important. When you start remembering, do not relive everything that they did to you. Because that would be as if in my wound here, the day after I got it stitched up, I went and I started ripping out all the stitches. What would happen if I did that? Reopen the wound and get infected, right? So it doesn't work. So don't let your mind, you know, dwell on that. Don't talk to other people about it. You know, if somebody comes up and says, "Hey, how's it going between you and Johnny?" Change the subject. Talk about the Blue Jays. I don't care. Find something to say. If you want it, you can say, "Well, God's working it out." I don't care. But don't say, "Oh, that guy, I remember everything he did," because you just open it all up again. Give it an opportunity to heal, because I promise you, if you do it, it will. Now, there's three groups of individuals that you probably want to think about in this whole forgiveness thing. The first is others who have hurt you. So ask God to show you all the people that have hurt you. And as I said, if you don't remember their name, you just put down, you know, guy in the red car, guy on the ladder jack, whatever, all right? The second is even harder. The second is to forgive yourself. Most people, as hard as it is to forgive others, most people, it's way harder to forgive ourselves. And so, you know, I have to tell you this. We want to keep this real. I'm just, you know, going to be transparent and honest before you as much as I can. I used to really hate myself completely. I was so hard on myself, and it doesn't matter all the reasons why, but I was so hard on myself, I completely hated myself. And so when I got a hold of this, you know, forgiving others, boy, I mean, you want to talk about almost grinding down three quarters of your fillings just while you're trying to say this stuff because you're clenched, your teeth are clenched so tight. And then when I came across forgive myself, ooh, that was almost impossible. And you know, I got to tell you, it felt weird. Lord, I forgive myself. Father, I ask that you would bless myself. Lord, I ask that you would help me to love myself the way you love me. What a bizarre thing. Did I ever feel weird? But you know what? God does love you. So why not say that? If you can say it for others, why not say it for yourself? I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is if you can begin to say that, and even one day look in the mirror and say, "I love you." Not in a weird, egotistical, you know, but just being okay in your own skin. God loves you just the way you are, just the way you are right here, right now. So I really challenge you to say, "Father, I bless myself, I forgive myself, and help me to love and see myself the way you do." You'll enter into a whole different relationship with yourself if you do that. The third thing, third individual, is sometimes people say, "Well, you know, you need to add God to your list to forgive him for all the things that all the mean things and bad things he's done to you." I understand the concept, because what they're trying to say is healing. Forgiveness is what brings healing. But I have a little problem with it, or a big problem, in that God has never sinned against anyone. Satan's the one who's done the bad stuff to us, right? Not God. God loves us. So if you do have anger in your heart towards God, anybody here ever have anger in their heart towards God? Two people. I think the rest of you are just embarrassed to raise your hands because you know you shouldn't. I did, because I thought, you know, if God's real and if he's true, how could he let such and such happen, right? Very common for us to think that. So if you do have that, that's okay. You can be honest with the Lord. You can just say, Father, forgive me for being angry with you, and forgive me for thinking that somehow I'm God and you're not, and I should understand things the way you do them, even though I'm only a person and not a God. I think that's very, very important to get your relationship right between you and your God. Noel?
I'm just going to share a little bit of a testimony on the back end of this doubleheader. So, forgiveness. One of the things that God says is that we ought to forgive from our hearts. And Michael just finished saying, and I very accurately, that it's not a feeling thing. It's not whether I feel like forgiving or not. I know it's got to be done. But when does it become real? When does it become that it's enough? How many of you have said it, I forgive such and such a person? Especially when that such and such a person is constantly in your face. Anybody have people around that are constantly in your face, that are constantly a pain? Come on now. Or maybe the memory of that is still around. There's another scripture that the Lord hit me with, because one of those incidents I've lived with, and I've it's like it was so much in my face, and it would be like any time I ever had the opportunity to do what we're going to do tonight, which was quite regularly, you know, to go to the Lord and take a list or take some names and bring them to God and say, I choose to forgive. It seemed like that this particular individual was always on the top of the list. And I got thinking, what's the problem here? Why are they always on the top of the list? And then I realized that there were probably two things here. One is that there's something about when the disciples asked Jesus the question, how many times should I forgive an individual? And then they said, maybe 7 times. Well, that's good enough. Somebody offended me, somebody hurt me, I should forgive that person at least 7 times. Well, the Lord said, no, 70 times 7 a day. Okay, so if I'm being offended, and if this thing is, you know, coming at me, and this person or this situation that I'm in, maybe it's at work, or just picture that situation that you might have that's in front of you or that's constantly nagging you. I believe what the intent there is, you forgive, and you keep forgiving, and you now. This forgiveness is not, it's like, yes, I go and I say, God, I forgive. I forgive the hurt. I forgive the offense. I forgive this act of whatever it might be that's in my face. And eventually, it gets to be real. Eventually, it gets to be from the heart. Eventually, it's like it takes. There's a truth in that. So I believe what the Lord is saying in that is that every time, it's fresh, it's new, it's just being renewed. I just got to say the same thing. God, I choose to forgive, and I that whole idea, I choose to bless, and and ask your blessing on that person. So I just encourage you. This is a something that has been real to me in my own personal life, where one particular incident was just constantly in my face, constantly. And I just said, continue to say that word. Continue to say what the Lord asked us to say. I choose to forgive. And there's one other thing, I don't know if we were very clear on it, but I think it's just something I want to just clear up. When it comes to, because somebody asked me this the other day. We were talking about forgiveness, and they thought that what I was saying, or what the whole concept or idea was, that you had to go to the person. Well, that's not the case. That's not what we're saying. Actually, you're not to go to the person, because you'll likely get that response that Michael talked about. What are you talking about? And even so, the idea here is that you don't go to the person and say, I choose to forgive you. No, you don't need to do that. As a matter of fact, I recommend you don't do that. The idea is you go to God with it. And you write down these things that we're talking about, and we trust that God will give you some things that are right on top of your list right now, and even as we pray that the Lord will give you more, and as we go through the weeks that maybe more will come up, but you make a practice of it, that you make a habit of it, that 7 times 70 really becomes part of your life, and that's our prayer for you, amen.
Well, are you getting ready to write down some of the people that you need to forgive, or some of the incidents in your life? Anybody need a paper or anything? You probably have paper. We have paper and pens here. And I know that some of you will probably be like me. You know, I started the night out, and I started thinking about, you know, who do I need to forgive? And really, I don't know, whenever I came to be a Christian, I was just so glad to get in. It just seemed like a lot of things just fell off of me, of people that I needed to forgive. But as I was sitting there, I just got a whole list. Just asking the Lord, you know, because I think we tend to go through life a lot of times where people do some things to us sometimes, and we might have an opportunity to take offense. And it doesn't matter whether that offense is big, it doesn't matter whether it's little, it's still an offense. And God wants us to make mention of that and release that. Some experiences in life are so minor but can affect people tremendously. We're all different. And it's amazing. You know, I know even from counseling individuals and so forth and meeting with them and pastoring people that you can have someone who had been a victim of rape when they were very young. And they may have come through that. And you're looking at them and they seem, wow, they seem pretty well adjusted for what they've been through. They seem like they handled it pretty good. And it seemed like it never affected them that much. You can take another individual, and maybe as a little child, they were mouthing off to their mother real bad or something, and she turned around and slapped them right hard across the face. And that could affect them for the rest of their life. Another individual. It just affects us different ways. And so, you know, sometimes when we hear these things, we hear something terrible that happened to somebody else, and, you know, we listen to that, and then we think, well, you know, this is the thing that's bugging me, but it's no big deal, so, you know, I shouldn't even bother mentioning it. No, that's not the case. We are all individuals, and the Lord told us to forgive. We've been created not to carry any unforgiveness at all. We've been created to totally release it, and he has given us the capability of it. And what Michael and Noel were talking about here, when it comes to forgiveness, when you don't want to, this is where faith comes in. You forgive by faith. In other words, you make the decision to forgive. You do it by faith, even though you don't feel it. There's a scripture in the Bible that says we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I have feelings of hatred towards somebody, I can still make a choice to forgive them by faith. And as I speak it out, eventually my feelings will catch up with my decision. And so as we forgive people tonight, as we write down people's names and incidences that we ask for forgiveness for, don't let any little one even go aside. It's only you and God that knows anyway. And goes through that shredder, nobody's going to put it back together. But I'm just reminded of an incident that I read about years ago. An individual was dying in the hospital, and she was a Sunday school teacher. And the pastor, her pastor, was one of the Sunday school kids that came up in her Sunday school class. And this pastor thought, you know, she's just a saint. She is just a wonderful woman. But yet he would come to her hospital bed very, very frequently and pray for her. And yet nothing was happening, nothing at all. And then one day, finally, he was going in the hospital and he said, God, I don't even want to go in there anymore. Just seems like nothing's happening. What's wrong here? Are we missing it somewhere? And he said, God simply spoke to him and said, ask her about her parents. And as he went in there, he went in, he started talking to her and says, you know, what was your relationship like with your father? And she said, oh, I had a wonderful relationship with my father. It was just great. He was a wonderful father to me, and it was great. And the pastor thought, well, that didn't go anywhere. Then he thought, he mentioned, well, what about your mother? And he said, she just turned around to him and with a scowl on her face and says, don't you mention her in front of me. And he suddenly realized that he hit the button there. And this pastor told this lady, said, if you don't forgive your mother, you're going to die. And that woman said, I would rather die than forgive my mother. And she died. Forgiveness is a key to her healing. But yet she wouldn't take it. How do we ever get there? How do we ever get into that place where we become so bitter that we'd rather die than forgive? I'm convinced it has to do so much with what Michael was talking about. When we play something over in our head over and over and over again. And you know what? It can be a small incident at the time, but the more we play it over, the bigger it gets. And unforgiveness turns into bitterness and hate, where we seem that there's something rises up in us to drive us to have such a feeling of hatred towards somebody that we just absolutely can't even entertain the thought of forgiving that individual. But God has given us the power within us to forgive. You know why we've got that power? And you know why we need to forgive? Because we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven. God has forgiven us. And so we have the power within us to release forgiveness to others. Someone said that holding on forgiveness towards someone else is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what it is, really. It's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die when we are being eaten away on the inside. I remember one time I was working on a job, and there was this guy there that he didn't not like me. He just seemed to, you know, there's all kinds of different people in the world. Sometimes they'll say one thing one day and another thing another day. And this particular day, anyway, he came and he said something to some other people about me that was really a lie. It was a flat-out lie. And so when that kind of happens, you think, well, I'm justified to be mad. I mean, they lied about me. I'm justified to be angry with the person. I'm justified to be mad at him, be offended at what he said because he lied. And I remember that day very clearly. I went home that day from work, and I was really mad. Actually, I think I had some of Michael's spirit there for a while. I got angry. And I was waiting for he was gone somewhere, and he'd come. I stayed at work late for him to get back because I wanted to talk to him. And I was a Christian then, walking with God. And anyway, he didn't come back. Finally, I went home, and I knew enough about walking with God that you can't hold on to that thing. And so I came home and I just said to Debbie before supper, even though I went upstairs and I said, I just got to get alone for a while. And I remember saying to God, I have a right to be mad at him Think of what he said. He is a total lie of what he said. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be offended. And I'll never forget what God said to me. He said, I heard him just as clear as anything. He said, the only rights you have are the ones that I've given you. And I haven't given you the right to hold on forgiveness toward anybody. And I had to release that. I asked God to forgive me then. I knew I was the one in trouble. I was more in trouble than the other guy because I was holding that. If we really want to walk in wholeness, if we really want to have the life that God has for us, which is, what does the scripture say? And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we really want that, we're going to have to do things his way. And that means come with a clean slate. So I want you just to take a minute now. If there's anything else that you want to write down before we're going to get you to come and put these things that you wrote down through the shredder. And when you come up here to do that, even when it's going through, just in your own mind, you can say it aloud if you want to, but you don't have to. Just when you put that through that, just as those things that are destroyed, just make a mental note of any unforgiveness that I've had, I release now, and I put it through that shredder. It can't be put back together again. And I believe you'll have a sense of release. You know, sometimes husbands have things against their wives. Wives have things against their husbands. When you live close together for a long time, you can't help but get offended in certain things. Some people who have broken marriages live their whole lives holding unforgiveness toward others. All these things must be released. God, right now, we just ask, Lord, that you would help each and every one in this place to do what really is so difficult to do many times. But with your help, Lord, we believe we can do it. With your help, God, we believe that we can release forgiveness tonight, that we can be changed and go from this place changed, walking in total forgiveness toward God and man, toward everybody, so that there'll be a total release. And Father, we thank you for that now. Amen. I'm just waiting because I'm still seeing some people writing. We want to make sure that nobody's rushed. Now, some of you may have put some things down in your writings that you've thought you've already forgiven and so forth. Well, that's okay. If you have released it, well, that's just an affirmation that it's totally gone. So why don't you stand up and begin to bring those papers up and put them in the shredder. Oh, yeah, the thing will still be here. It's not wore out yet. That was cool. It's so, you know, I'm thinking of there's a song that I hear quite often, and one of the things is, one of the lyrics in it is, be a man about this situation. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes we think about, people have a thinking sometimes that forgiving somebody shows weaknesses. It's actually just the opposite, totally the opposite. It takes a whole lot more strength to forgive. I remember hearing the story about Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you know who she is, a lady who was in the Second World War, and where many Jewish people were killed, and she was part of her family was protecting them. And she seen a lot of the atrocities that were done. And there was this one man who was a German officer, and he had got saved. He became a Christian, and Corrie Ten Boom was in the, he was one of the main characters where in the camp that she was in, and he actually put many of the Jews to death. Many people to death, many people she loved to death. And she was giving a message in a church one night, and she was up here. Then people came after she shared her story. People came and began to shake hands with her. She was quite busy, and she looked up, and just somebody coming in, like where Roy is there, and they were coming down. And she seen it was that man who had did so much to her and the people she loved. And she said, and she looked, there was just a filled with emotions. There was kind of anger there, and there were just so many things that she wanted to say to him because she was so, and she said it took every, he came up to her and put his hand out. He didn't know that she recognized him, obviously, and he put his hand out, and she said it took everything in her to take her hand and grab it. But she said when she made the step, all that, those emotions vanished. They left. She chose to forgive. See, that's what we were talking about, that choice. You choose to forgive. And whenever she did, strength came in and she was able to do it. You see, folks, we have been so twisted in our makeup since we were born into this world. We have experienced many, many, many things that man was never meant to experience, really. It was never meant. Man was never meant to experience broken marriages. Do you know that? The way God created us, he did not create us so that we were meant to have and function properly with broken homes or dysfunctional homes. But every one of us came from a dysfunctional home. We weren't meant to be like that. But now we're in a place where, as we're beginning to learn to come back, God is calling us back to the way he created us initially. And as we yield to him, as we take these steps, I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to find something that Jesus spoke about when he said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. He wants us to experience the fullness, the joy, the happiness of life like we can't even imagine. And I thank God for the things that he's teaching us today. That he's undoing. There's another scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if you've got something in your life that you're really broken emotionally, or things that happen in your life that cause you distress and broken down emotionally, or pain or all the rest, those are all works from the devil. And the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy those works. So we're on the victory side. We're on the winning side. Well, stand up and we'll just pray a prayer of blessing over you as you leave tonight. Thanks so much for coming out. I know it's only been two sessions that we have had, but I'm getting a lot of these already. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your truth and your love.